Hey, are you ready to create reliable revenue and master every detail of your hosting business? If you want to avoid compromising all those hospitality details that you love, but still approach hosting like the business it is, we created a free class just for you. Set aside 45 minutes. We promise it's worth your time. And go watch our value-packed workshop where we go over how to master every detail of your hosting business with our foolproof hosting business mastery method that will help you avoid hosting burnout. Growing, where simply starting your hosting business isn't always easy, but it can be simple. We'll help you avoid the three big mistakes that are keeping you stuck, tired, and overwhelmed as a short-term rental host so that you have a powerful revenue stream you can actually rely on.
If you're ready to take your hosting to the next level, head on over to thanksforvisiting.me/workshop to watch this on-demand training. Or send us a DM on Instagram with the word workshop. We'll send you the link and most likely a video DM. We love those. Again, that's thanksforvisiting.me/workshop.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to another great week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. All right. Let's start the show like we do each and every week, and that is sharing one of you, our valued listeners, who've used our hashtag on Instagram, STRShareSunday. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week, we are sharing at Green Gate Guesthouses.
Ooh.
It is a long one, but it's a good one.
It's alliteration, which
you
know I really love.
Oh, you do. You love that. All right. This is what I want to... You do have to go to Instagram. You have to check this place out because it is not just one property. It is multiple properties that have been... They were a mining community. And this host took this property over in around 2002. It's like over 100 years old, and he has been working on rehabbing a farmhouse, a barn house. He has the actual miner's house, a log cabin.
Whoa.
A lot of work, but it is phenomenal. So I'm not going to be able to do it enough justice through Instagram, but what I want you to see through their Instagram is you can go directly to their site, and something that they have done that I haven't seen a lot before, the story of the property alone, they have given so much rich history here. It makes you just want to go visit and see what they've done and see what was there before. So this is something I haven't seen in all of the STR shares that we've done, is someone really storytelling all of the history of the property. And there's multiple homes on the property. So that is something that I think is just special. And if you have that and you actually know that, people will be interested. That will draw them to your space. So well done, Green Gate Guesthouses. Please give them a follow. Check out their website, though, if you are in the Minnesota area. That is where this is located, and it is just phenomenal. Kudos to you. I cannot wait to hopefully visit someday. So
amazing.
Thanks again for using our hashtag. Sarah, we have a very special guest today.
We do.
And listeners, Sarah does not talk about this a lot, so I'm going to make her talk about it today while we're introing this guest. Sarah, would you tell us how you know this very special guest
I
today?
I will. So my old self, I was, ever since I was little, I wanted to be a musical theater performer, and I was the most focused on doing just that. The minute I went to college, I majored in musical theater, and then I moved right to New York City the day I graduated, pretty much. And during my tenure in New York, I lived in New York about 15 years. I spent about, I mean, I don't even know, 3 to 4 years doing the national tour of Hairspray. And while doing that, I met today's guest, Dan Ferretti. And no, we're not going to do a radio show for you today where we're going to sing and tap dance for you.
Which I did ask for that, listeners. I asked Sarah if her and Dan would be able to sing and she pretty much
probably find
squashed
us on
that.
YouTube. So anyway, Dan played Wilbur, who is, if you know the show Hairspray, Tracy is the lead character, and her dad and mom are super supportive parents. And Dan played Wilbur. Anyway, now, you know, I've moved on to an obsession. I'm a very obsessive personality, onto short-term rentals. And I knew that Dan had a really cool story. He's also gotten into the short-term rental industry. He still is an actor, but got into the short-term rental industry. And I actually connected with him recently in Chicago. And he told me a story again. And I came home and I was like, Annette, my friend Dan's story, and we have to share this with our audience because listeners, it's so aspirational, so inspirational, and on so many different levels. You'll hear why soon. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's always good to reconnect with you, Sarah, and the fact that we are doing it 2 weeks in a row after so many years is just a gift. So yes. Thank you for letting me join both you and Annette on this podcast.
It's so funny, Dan, because there's something about listeners, when you're an actor, especially when you're on tour, you are in a bubble. Like you are traveling together, either on bus or plane, and you are in hotels together and you go to work together. It is like this intense time in your life where you get crazy connected to your cast and the crew. I would say the same goes for, you know, when you're in the short-term rental industry, because sometimes hosting can be so lonely. When you find someone else who understands your life, you connect. So Dan and I, we were at dinner actually with another friend from the cast. And Dan, I felt you and I were just like, you know, short-term rental chatting, and Aaron's just one of our friends was kind of looking at us like, okay, you crazies. But so let's not, without further ado, Dan, can you, if you don't mind, take us back to the beginning, to when, down to like how you even made the purchase of the short-term rental happen, which is one of my favorite parts of the story, but down to like when the idea of even owning a vacation spot came to be. Like, go take us back to the very beginning, and let's, because listeners have no idea what your story is at this point. I've given them no clue other than it's awesome. And take us through that journey to where you are today.
Well, it all started once upon a time. No. How can I tell you this? First of all, I was always my husband, Brian, and I always traveled to Mexico and other places, but we really liked Mexico. And for many years, we used to go fly into Cancun and then go to Playa del Carmen or Tulum and that side of Mexico. And both being gay, we wanted maybe, you know, a little bit of nightlife. And in Playa del Carmen, there was one dusty old gay bar that was, you know, okay. But, and, you know, we weren't looking to like rage and go hit the town and,
yeah,
you know, as
community.
Many clubs as possible. We just wanted a bit of a community. Exactly.
Yeah.
So with a little research, we found that Puerto Vallarta has a lot more of a gay scene. And so we went for the first time in 2009, and we discovered that, yeah, not only does it have a gay community, but or several gay bars, but it really does have a community and a generational community. So there were gays of all ages and types, and we saw the light bulb and said, wait a minute, there might be something here, like even for ourselves, for down the road for retirement and things like that. Mm-hmm. And Brian was always a real estate voyeur back in those days. And eventually he got his license and became a broker and was very successful. But prior to that time, we would just, every time we would go to Mexico, we would set aside a day to do Beachfront Bargain Hunt or House Hunters International, whatever right. you want to call it.
Your own version.
Our own version. And we would, much like those very staged shows, we would see three different units. And, you know, one was usually completely finished and move-in ready. One was usually a fixer-upper. And one was like, why are we even here?
Right.
But so we quickly realized that we were just dreaming and scheming. And that was really all it was, because there were so many obstacles. The biggest one being you have to actually pay cash for a property. I mean, I believe now there is such a thing as a Mexican mortgage, but I think it's better to pay cash.
Okay.
And we also realized that, you know, even if we had the money, we couldn't afford anything there. I mean, it would be at least $150,000 to $200,000 to get a place that, you know, viewed a rock or mm-hmm. the highway or something crazy like that.
Okay.
So there was no way that we were going to find something affordable that was like perfectly located or near a beach or anything like that. So we started, at first we were just staying at a hotel in town that referred to itself as being the gay Four Seasons.
Okay.
And, you know, it was pretty nice, but we always said that it's probably a couple seasons short. But, then we discovered that, you know, there were Airbnb rentals to be had. And so we found a place in 2016, and it was near the beach and had a nice balcony, cute little balcony. And every night we would sit out on the balcony and watch sunset and say, you know, this is really nice, but there's that building right in front of this one, and they probably have a better view. And every time we would exit our building to go into town, we would pass that building in front of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see inside their little lobby, and they had a bulletin board with a bunch of stuff stuck to it and two handwritten signs in magic marker, one that said condos for sale and the other that said penthouse for sale. So curiosity got the best of us, and we wandered in and said, tell us about your condos for sale. And the woman at the front desk said, well, I can show you the penthouse if you'd like. We're like, okay,
why not? Right away.
Right? So we go to the penthouse, and it was pretty huge. It was very huge and had 360-degree views of wow. the city, and very old school Mexican as far as its design and tile work and stuff.
Mm.
And it was huge. And it would need a lot of work.
Okay.
And probably a lot of money too. And we asked just out of curiosity, and we said, well, this is just too much for us. And how much is it anyway? And I think they said it was $650,000.
Okay.
Like, yeah, no. And she asked, well, what is your budget? And my husband, Brian, said, just to like get her off our back and make her laugh in our face and be done with it, we said, I don't know, $100,000, which we did not have, by right. the way. But, you know, he just threw that figure out. And she said, her response was, oh, would you like a view? We're like,
of course.
Yeah.
Right.
So she starts just opening doors to a bunch of units. And we checked everything out. And it just became a matter of, okay, which floor has better views? What can we really afford? Because each floor, the higher up it goes, the price increased.
Yeah.
And we knew that we couldn't afford the higher floors, but we still found a floor that had the good views. And we settled on that. And, you know, we went back and forth with the owner, who we lovingly referred to him as Yosemite Sam.
Okay.
Because he was just really, he was an American who fell in love with the Mexican woman, and he had some property in New Mexico.
Okay.
And he met the person who owned the property that my building is on.
Okay.
years ago, I want to say, like, you know, 35 plus years ago, he met the man who originally owned this property or the land and traded this land in Mexico for his land in New Mexico.
Ah,
so, yes. Yeah, so, you know, the original owner of the land, I guess, you know, fulfilled his American dream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the
vice
owner
versa.
Of, yes. So,
when you and Brian were in the unit, like checking all the floors out, then did you guys leave? And then did you email with this owner? Did the woman you were talking with connect you? And that's when you started negotiating?
Yes. We actually, she was kind of the point person and she kind of ran the front desk.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay.
But she ended up being our contractor down the road.
Okay.
Well, I was going to ask, did you have to have a realtor? Like, did you need to be represented by a licensed realtor or?
Most people do.
Okay.
This whole deal was kind of unbelievable.
Okay. No, great.
So we met the owner of the building and Brian being, you know, the savvy broker negotiator that he was, he said, you know, we're going to offer $75,000 cash.
You're like, great. Sounds good. Did you have the $75,000 cash this time?
Oh, no.
Okay, perfect. So, we'll figure that out later.
Always wheeling and dealing and dreaming and scheming.
Yes.
So we pitched $75,000 to the owner and he said, thank you for your offer, but I'm going to decline it right now. But contact me in 3 months. I might need the money then. That's just the kind of guy he was. And so we waited 3 months, upped our offer, and he accepted it because he always wanted to build a second tower of units. And the sale of the current building with their units was funding this project.
Sure.
And so when we first made the offer, he was fine. Yeah. And, you know, kind of on schedule with his plan for the new building. And then he needed more money. And we said, okay.
Right.
So we offered him more money.
He accepted and you still didn't have the money. So now you guys have to figure out how to get the money.
Right. So more of a backstory, which Sarah already knows, but I'll fill you in.
I'm excited.
Your listeners. So in 2012... I appeared on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Which I love this. This is so good. Who was the host?
That time, it was Meredith Vieira.
Oh, so good. Okay.
Who is a delight.
Aww.
I mean, she was so great on camera, of course, but every time we would go to a commercial break, she would just like lean into me and we'd just start talking. And it was really, really, really cool. It was a great experience. I did okay, but I got to a point where I was out of lifelines. And at that time, I don't know how, even if the show is even on anymore, because it's had several hosts.
Yeah.
But at that time and that iteration of the show, if you were out of lifelines, you could choose to walk away, but you would only get half of the money you banked.
Okay.
So I had $58,000, but I walked away, so I got $29,000.
Okay. And this is how you started funding your...
Well, I... shortly after that, we found a place in Chicago, a foreclosure, one-bedroom unit, perfectly enough space for my husband and I, and we decided to buy it and pay cash for it. So I used my game show money. I cash advanced my credit cards. We called in all our favors from all of our friends and paid cash for the unit.
Okay.
So from 2012 on, we had a unit with no mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great. So when we found this place in Mexico, I decided to... Well, we had to finance it. So I got a loan in the form of a first-time mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just one mortgage, two properties.
We
used that money to pay cash for the place in Mexico.
Nice. So you took the mortgage out on your paid-for Chicago property.
Home. Yes.
To get the second.
So yes. Good, right?
So smart.
Yeah.
That's very fascinating. Okay, so we got you're wheeling dealing with your Who Wants to Be a Millionaire cash, which I love that. But with the property, did you have to tell, does the bank, do they care how that money's going? Because I know our listeners always have this like buy their second home and they're scared. They're always very nervous about rules and regulations. And were you very transparent with the bank that cash was being used in? Maybe you can't even say that on the show if you weren't honest, but like, how does that go down? Or you just got the cash, you're like, hey, I'm taking a mortgage out and they don't care what you do with the cash after that.
Yeah. I think a little bit
of all
of
the
column
things.
A, a little bit of column B.
Yeah. Right.
Because my husband, Brian, was in real estate, we went through some people that he knew.
Right.
And
they can make it happen.
Because securing the loan was difficult because of my actor background and mm-hmm. not having a real job.
Quote unquote, real job. Thank you,
exactly.
World.
like all these supplemental jobs
yes.
together.
Right.
On paper doesn't look great,
mm-hmm.
even though, I might have all the funding, I might have all the components, but on paper, they didn't look great. And they had to fudge numbers and push this thing through.
Right. To make it happen.
Work.
I love it. So in the property now, Yosemite Sam calls you back
right.
and he's in the need for cash. Did you get to choose the unit that you wanted? Like, did you have to go down and make sure it was the exact one that you wanted? How did you choose out of all of the properties, or did he kind of choose for you which one was going to be for sale?
Oh, it was totally our choice. In fact, when we first discovered the building, it was in May. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was in May of 2016.
Okay.
And that's when we first discovered the building and started dreaming and scheming.
Mm-hmm.
We went back a couple months later to stay in the property.
Great.
Because originally we were looking at a unit on the 9th floor, which was way bigger than we could probably use. It was more expensive. We knew we couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the very first unit that kind of attracted us.
Yeah.
And so we stayed in that unit and went, you know what? That's not the right one. And,
awesome.
But we've just had kind of free run of the building as far as checking it out. And we literally went floor to floor, unit to unit, sat on the bed and looked out the balcony and went, okay, this one has this kind of view, but this view's better here.
Right.
But, and, then what could we afford? So we were vacillating between a unit on the 7th floor and one on the 6th floor.
Okay.
The one on the 7th floor had definitely better views, but it just had a standard, 9x12 balcony.
Mm-hmm.
And the units on the 6th floor had all extended the balconies much further. They didn't have nearly the view that you have on the 7th floor. So we were talking about compromising. Okay, we might not have a view, but we'd have all this extra outdoor space. And at the end of the day, isn't that what you really want? So we were leaning towards a unit on the 6th floor, and the woman who originally showed us the units called us about a month later and said, do you still like the unit on the 7th floor? And we said, well, sure, but I don't know that we can afford that. And, the balcony is much smaller. And she said, oh, well, we're extending the balconies
on
the 7th floor. So we're like, okay, yeah.
We got to figure
this out.
We'll
make it happen. Right. So that's how that whole process began then of, getting the loan.
Yeah. And we'll make sure to link to Dan's unit in this building because Sarah sent it to me when they were at dinner. And I was like, this terrace is amazing. It's his hero. It's dreamy. It's really great. So you chose well there. Does your building, in comparison to buildings in the U.S., is there a large homeowners association or a fee, like a monthly fee, since you are buying these outright?
There is.
Okay.
Currently in my building, we don't have a homeowners association.
Okay.
Because they started building that second tower of units, now there's more units available. So there has to be 51% ownership before
you actually have the association. Okay, gotcha. And do you list on Airbnb and Vrbo or Airbnb only, or how does that work?
I list primarily on Airbnb.
Okay.
I have listed on Mr.B&B.
Oh, I did not even know what is that?
It's gay B&B.
I had no idea.
It's crazy because I've had people who have found my unit on Mr.B&B.
Okay.
And then just on their own searched on Airbnb.
Oh.
And went,
it's the same one.
It's the same one. And just, my own experience and seeing what they're doing on Mr.B&B, the price is a little more. On Mr.B&B because...
And you just probably know that, so they go to Airbnb and find a better price. But they know they're dealing with a host who is...
Reputable on both.
Yeah, right. and gay-friendly, I would even say, right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
And I've had a couple bookings through Mr.B&B and I think two bookings through TripAdvisor.
Okay.
But Airbnb is really my main jam.
And did you know, because were you and Brian always talking like we're in order to supplement, we're
going
to have to like rent this out like right after we buy it? Was that part of the plan? Because that's the other thing where when people ask us, they're like wanting to start to run the numbers on their second property. They're like, well, we know we can't afford it outright all the time on our own. Can you walk us through your plan to
so you guys
have
acquired it and then what? Do you enjoy it for a little while just for you guys, but you always knew you wanted Airbnb? Yeah, tell us that whole journey.
It was absolutely part of the plan. We knew that we couldn't afford to just have it as our own.
Mm-hmm.
We really designed it with renting it out in mind.
Okay.
And specifically... I mean, and for our own enjoyment, of course, but everything that we did to the property was because of and a direct reflection of our prior traveling experience in Mexico.
Sure.
We picked and chose all of the things that attracted us to other units that we stayed in throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, for example, we stayed in some really nice places. The Gay Four Seasons, for example, the units in that property were really beautiful and unique and decorated nicely and whatever. But every bed we slept on was hard as a rock.
Mm-hmm.
And so we vowed that our bed is going to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. So in order to accomplish that, we purchased just an additional memory foam topper, and just made sure we got over 400 count, their thread sheet count.
Right, right. Just good quality stuff.
Yes, so we wanted an affordable yet luxurious experience, which I felt we were able to source on our own throughout the years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of wanted to reward other savvy travelers with the same thing. So, I try to keep pricing very affordable, especially given the fact that it is a property directly across the street from the beach and located so perfectly in what is known as the Zona Romantica or Old Town in Puerto Vallarta.
Okay.
So there's a lot of pluses to the location, but I didn't necessarily want to charge people or upcharge people just for that.
Right.
So you purchased it in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So then, okay.
Well, we purchased it, but the purchase didn't really go down until, because we spent the back half of 2016 going back and
forth with
offers and then securing the money and everything. And that whole process. So yeah, I should also mention, we met someone who had just purchased and was in Mexico in his unit. when on one of our trips back there, because we went back two times after we first discovered it.
Okay.
And the third time was to basically say, yes, this is the one we want. How do we move forward? And originally it was, okay, so here's a bank in New Mexico and the account number that you just wire $10,000 to.
And you're like, this is a scam.
Right? And we're like, what? And the new friend that we met that had just purchased said, okay, I know you think that it's probably a hinky process, but trust it, it totally works.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
You gotta... So we trusted the process. And literally the owner, Annette, you had asked if you can, if you have to deal with a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. And usually you do, but this owner was the type of guy that said, I don't want any realtors or anyone else involved. It's going to be a deal between us. We're going to do it on a handshake.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
That's how it's done.
So you trusted it.
Trust the process.
Okay. All right.
So listeners, this is not for everyone. And it's not how things really go down in Mexico. This is a very unique story.
No, but we like it because you say it's unique, but it's like every time we talk to anybody about their short-term rental, there was
their acquisition process.
And the acquisition is always something, it's very random, like, oh, I found it on Zillow and then I went and met the realtor and we signed the paperwork and that's how it happens.
Right.
So we love the story because it can go down any way. So.
Right.
Okay, so let's say you guys got the keys in 2017.
Yes,
so now you've had a few years. Tell us, how's it been? Now you acquired it. Now you're Airbnb hosts and vacation rental owners.
Yeah, it took most of 2017 to get it renovated.
Okay.
Because Mexico.
Okay.
But so things are done in their own time.
Sure.
And so we acquired the unit in March of 2017. We went down in May of 2017 to put finishing touches on the place. Hardly any work had been started in May. So we went down in July of 2017 to put finishing touches on the place. No, not quite.
Still hadn't done anything. Okay.
So it finally was ready at the end of October. And we went down then, and it was really perfectly timed because really high season doesn't start until late November, December.
Okay.
So we were there for a couple weeks at the end of October, beginning of November, and really put finishing touches on the place and got it ready to go. Got all the pictures and all that fun stuff and did my first Airbnb listing and almost immediately started booking, which was lovely. And it really has booked consistently ever since.
Love that. Did you have financial goal heading into when you started listing? Did you and Brian sit down and say, okay, we want to make, if we make X amount of dollars a year, this is our, did you have kind of have a goal and then this would really crush the goal? How did you talk about the financials kind of not knowing what they would be?
Yeah, our original goal was to just make sure that we could pay for all the expenses and upkeep of the unit and you know, be able to pay the mortgage here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would say we tripled our expectations.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That's awesome. No.
Yeah. I mean, because I can't remember the exact number, but property taxes for the unit,
mm-hmm.
I want to say are, you know, like $80 or something.
I was going to actually ask about the property tax, what that looks like.
Okay.
And I know everybody wants to know right now, you are hosting in Chicago, your spot in Mexico. How in the world do you do that?
How'd you find your cleaner?
Like, does it make you nervous? That's something, I mean, remote, you are taking remote hosting to a whole nother level by it being international. Because you're the host, correct? Like you don't have somebody there on like on staff for you, do you?
No. I mean, okay. There is a staff attached to the building I bought into.
Okay, great.
So as far as that goes, there is someone to greet guests and give them keys.
Okay, great.
I have my unit cleaned, obviously, prior to a guest day and afterwards. And then they keep track of it and I pay them next time I go down.
Oh, okay. Next time you go down. What? That's an interesting
set. They don't make you like...
So good like that.
Okay. All right.
But for my guests, if they want maid service during their stay, they're responsible for their own maid service and it's 200 pesos or about $10 per cleaning.
And does the building help facilitate that? Or will you help facilitate it with your team?
I usually let them know. And sometimes if they actually contact me and say, we'd like to have our room cleaned, I will tell them to mention it to either Sergio or Monica at the front desk.
Okay.
But I will also contact them just to say they want a cleaning in, you know, my unit.
Gotcha. And then how does, like, what's the ratio of international guests, you know, staying in your place? Do you find that it's a lot of, are there a lot of locals that are staying in your place? There are a lot of Americans. What's that breakdown look like since you are, that's a very popular destination?
Yeah, it's primarily American and Canadians.
Okay.
But during the summer and some other times, there are some Mexican nationals who travel there.
Okay.
I will say I also co-host my neighbor's unit two doors down from me. And he also has a unit in another building is a three-bedroom unit. And the building is really swanky. It's got this great rooftop pool and stuff like that. So it's nice to have options. And he loved what I was doing with my unit and how successful my rentals were. And he approached me in 2018 and said, hey, would you mind if I gave you a cut of, or a percentage, would you mind just running my Airbnb and setting it up for me and just running it? And, you know, so I had to actually talk him through while we were on the phone, kind of talk him through the Airbnb website so that he could set up his listing and make me a co-host. And then once I was a co-host of that one, I was able to set up his other unit. And
now would you have ever imagined that when you were first walking through that you would be co-hosting for someone in that building? I love that.
And so it just adds to the list of potential problems by being a remote host.
Right.
The good thing about the unit that's in my building is that I can kind of do the same things for his unit that I do for my unit. The unit in the other building is a little more problematic. I have, you know, there are more people involved. I have to deal with the manager of the building.
Okay.
Who is kind of the point person for those guests.
Okay.
So I communicate with him and he checks in the guests and is their point person.
Okay.
At the other building.
So if there's no HOA, who's paying for these staff members? Or is it like, how does that work? Like the people who have keys and give check-ins, or is it just built into the purchase price?
It is, well, because the building we bought into was operating as a hotel of sorts.
Okay.
Everyone on staff is paid by the ownership of the building.
Gotcha.
So does the owner have some essential Airbnbs as well that just he owns and operates and then he sells some of them?
No. In fact, the owner passed away unexpectedly in 2018.
Okay.
In the middle of, they were just starting the building of the second tower of units. And, you know, I'm sure it's not too much of a stretch to believe this due to the handshake deal that we made.
Right.
But he's the type of guy that had things written down on napkins and post-it notes and some stuff that was just in his head, all his plans for the building.
Right.
And so his son, who was living in, I believe, Colorado at the time, came down to Mexico and took over the family business. And the way he described it was like walking into a 5-star restaurant during dinner service and the chef has just keeled over. And he's back in the kitchen taking lids off pots going, okay, that looks pretty good. And oh my God, what happened to this dish? What is it? And so he really spent most of 2018 and 2019 kind of figuring things out. And whereas his dad may have cut some corners to make things work, the son is making everything by the book so that there are no surprises down the road.
Oh, that's awesome for you though.
It is. I mean, at one point, for example, we were just all tied into the electricity for the building, but then they went through and put each individual unit
service.
Has its own box.
That's a nice upgrade.
That's crazy.
When he passed away, that makes me nervous because there's just stuff I can feel myself when you're talking about these issues. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd feel so helpless. A, being in Chicago, but then B, you're not native there. So when he passes away, like, wait, is all this paperwork legit? Like, do I still own this home?
Yes.
Like, how does that go? I would be a little stressed about that.
Well, and let me tell you, there are several unit owners that didn't get their title because of the timing of this guy's death.
Oh my gosh.
And a lot of people that had put down money, but they were in line for certain units in the building.
Oh, yeah.
And after the patriarch's death, the son just went, yeah, we're putting a hold on all sales until we get things under control.
Organized. Oh, wow.
So that, I'm not even sure if sales have resumed because they were gearing towards last summer to finally resume sales and then COVID and all of that.
Sure.
So, there are still some people that are like, I wanted to buy this certain unit here, but you know, I never heard anything. It's like, oh yeah.
So for you though, this remote hosting, give us, we always like to talk about all the positives, but so let's talk about a positive first. Like, how do you create relationships? Has there been some awesome guests that you've had? Do you have repeat guests that come every year? Talk to us through that experience, how that's been, not really being able to meet them ever, but communicating them via the app.
Yeah. I mean, I'm Facebook friends with some of them now
that's
as
great.
A result.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. And I do have repeat guests, which is always lovely.
Mm-hmm.
I always try, I mean, a lot of times people will just offer up information when they book or when they inquire to book.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone says, you know, we're coming down for my husband's birthday or it's our anniversary, I make a little mental note of that. And I have some people, like I hooked up with a local floral artist, as I call her,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, any florist can throw a bunch of things in a vase and call it an arrangement. But this woman likes to flex her muscles a bit and I give her free rein.
Aww.
And so whenever I have someone who's staying a week or more
mm-hmm.
and are celebrating something, they get a floral arrangement and a bottle of champagne. And in addition to just staying in my fabulous unit,
right.
But you know, things like that are little memorable touches that keep them coming back.
Very cool. And what has been remote hosting? What has been a challenging situation that you had to work through for a guest during their holiday?
Oh, girl. Okay. I actually had just come off this negative experience when I saw Sarah last week and kind of told her the whole story. Little vent, yes. It was for my unit. And interestingly, someone had been in it the week before.
Mm-hmm.
No issues. Rave, as most of my guests do, thankfully. And it just was a series of unfortunate events and timings. Mm-hmm. Another guest came in, and the day he got there, the internet went out. And there also was issues with the toilet. It was not flushing properly. And it took a couple days to get the toilet serviced, but it was serviced, but not quickly enough for him. And he was very, very unhappy. And the internet thing was a big deal to him. Mm-hmm. And
you got to feel kind of helpless, because it's like, it's not like, I'm just thinking about here. It's like, okay, fine. Honestly, just like 2 weeks ago, I couldn't get an exterminator to take down a hornet's nest. So I just, we got a ladder and we went up there and we sprayed and we got it down. But you can't do that.
You can't connect to internet, you know?
Right.
And listeners, this will happen. You will have a guest that honestly, it will just be like issue after issue.
Yeah.
It's just kind of Murphy's Law or whatnot. And you just have to know that it happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. And do what you can and just make sure that they're like, what's our turn? Like, they're not ours, but like, people just want to be heard. They want to be seen. They want to know that you're listening to their problem and that you recognize that this is their trip, their holiday, you know?
Yes. And even then, they're not satisfied.
Right.
Some of them. Right. I mean, in this particular case, I pride myself on a very fast response time. Mm-hmm. Sarah, I know that when we were out last week, you got some messages and you responded. And that's what you do. Mm-hmm. It's just what you do.
Yeah.
So as soon as I would get a notification from this unhappy guest, I would respond and apologize up and down and then contact the people at my building and say, this is what's going on. Can you
doing everything kind you of can. Help me?
Right. And they were aware of that. And yet, still not happy,
right,
to the point where they left in the middle of their stay and demanded a significant refund, if not a full refund.
Oh, okay.
And so I apologized profusely to that and said, I agree with you. I am happy to offer you a 50% refund. Mm-hmm. That was not good enough for them.
Never is.
And they wanted more.
Okay.
And they put in a request to the Airbnb Resolution Center.
Okay.
And, you know, and then it just got ridiculous. I mean, I get it. Not having internet, if you really need to be connected, can be problematic. And not having a properly flushing toilet is definitely a problem.
Right.
But he was complaining about you didn't provide toiletries. I was like, who does it? I mean, if you want that, stay at a hotel, basically. Mm-hmm. And he kept comparing, you know, if this were a hotel,
right,
things would be different. And I finally said in my response to his resolution request that, yeah, if this was a hotel, it would be different. You know, there were many rooms to offer you. And, you know, a big hotel can afford to grease a squeaky wheel. But I can't. This is the only thing I have for you. And I did everything possible remotely, as well as my people there doing everything
and
possible.
And stuff you couldn't have solved. But at the end of the day, is this an absolute dream for you to be able to own this property and have the views and be able to visit? When would you, if we would have asked you this a decade or two decades ago, that you would be doing this and have this space, would it have seemed real to you?
I would laugh in your face. and honestly, it's still, I still have that pinch me I'm dreaming moment every time I come back to it, because it's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it is mine is pretty incredible, I have to say.
No, we love, like when Sarah, I know when Sarah sent me the listing last week, I was like, this place is fabulous. And then I was just thinking about you, that is such an amazing thing that, like, obviously owning real estate is amazing, but then to have this like place that you can go to that is like a sanctuary, that is a home away from home for you, but then a home away from home for other people. It just, it's special, super special for sure.
And we designed it to be kind of a perfect oasis for two, you know, or a single person to like really impress someone.
Right.
but just so that, and also we wanted it to be I remember saying to Brian that, you know, I want this every space here for someone who wants to just max and relax. So we made sure that we had a king size bed, mm-hmm. and we made sure that just there was a little living room area, and that it was kind of chic and stylish.
Well, and Brian was good. He not only was a broker, but he did some staging too, right?
Yes.
And you have, but if listeners, you need to go to the link in the show notes and look at Dan's unit, because it's, while it's chic and well done, you also, I know you said you did it on a budget, and you also kept like that authentic Mexican flair to it. Like it doesn't feel mm-hmm. like it's a unit in Chicago or somewhere right. else. It feels Mexican, which I think is important. Like it you know, because if I go to Mexico, I want to be in Mexico.
Yeah, you're woven in.
Too. Yeah.
Yes. Well, and that's absolutely true, Sarah. We, due to budget restraints and the fact that we, you know, mortgaged my place in order to just purchase the one in Mexico.
You're being savvy.
We had to make a choice, and we decided to embrace what we had and did the lipstick on a pig approach. But I feel the pig is real pretty.
So you said that to me too. And then I looked at your unit. I was like, this is not lipstick. This
really
is good.
It's really great.
Yeah. Listen. I mean, because the tile work that was originally there was good.
Yeah.
And then we chose, because originally there was a little kitchenette inside the unit. Mm-hmm. And we moved that more towards the outside. Mm-hmm. And so we chose Mexican inspired modern tile.
Yes.
And, you know, so we still kind of gave a nod to what was originally there, but just put our own little twist on it.
Right. It's so good.
I love it.
And then real quick, so co-hosting there, is that something you think you'll continue to do for the other owner? Will you have more owners that you would take on, or how are you feeling about that whole other endeavor? Because that's a whole other level of
hosting.
Yeah.
I feel like my plate is pretty full right now, mm-hmm. Because sometimes all three units are occupied.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot.
And as you know, as you both know, that's a lot of just being
available.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are times where all three units are occupied and no one needs anything, and those are great days. But sometimes
you never know.
And of course, I still have a life in Chicago and work to do here. So sometimes, you know, I'm dealing with several issues in Mexico while working in Chicago. That doesn't always go down so well.
Yes. Dan, you can add this. Sarah, I don't know where we came up with this one the other day. It's part-time, but it's all the time.
Yeah.
And when you hear that, you're like, wait, it is part-time, but it's all the time.
Yeah.
You don't know when it's going to be on.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, is there anything else? Do you have any questions?
No, I want to thank you for sharing your story, because I think it should be, I know it's motivational for Sarah and I, and inspirational, and just, I like listeners, everybody that we have on, it's like they took action. Like, I love that just like we would go, like we would look at real estate when we were there, even if we had no idea how we would ever make it happen. You were at least like moving forward and taking some action and looking. I think that's probably the difference maker of why you own a space there now.
Yeah. And I have to give a lot of credit to Brian, because he really pushed things. Even back when we found my current unit in Chicago, mm-hmm. We were in I don't even know if I should tell you this, but we were in a 3-bedroom unit that we purchased in 2008, right before I left the Hairspray tour.
Okay.
I had used all my money from that to purchase this condo, our first condo together. And it was right before the huge market crash in 2008. So immediately we were upside down on our mortgage, and it quickly proved to be more unit than we could afford. Mm-hmm. And it was not a great situation. So my game show winning and just finding this foreclosure on a fluke really worked out. And Brian at the time said, you know what? Let's make this happen. Let's get this other unit. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, we were both supposed to be on all the paperwork for the first unit we bought, but closing date changed to a day where we were traveling between cities on the Hairspray tour.
Okay.
And so at the last minute, I was taken off all the paperwork.
Oh, gotcha. So
it was strictly in Brian's name.
Okay.
And knowing that, he was like, okay, I'm going to take a hit. We're going to walk away. Listeners, don't do this. But
actually,
chose to walk away from our upside down mortgage and that whole situation.
Yep.
And this unit that I currently own was only in my name because Brian knew that he was going to tank his credit.
Yeah.
And within 7 years, everything would be righted.
Right.
So that's what made some of the hurdles in getting the mortgage when when we found the property in Mexico, because everything was in my name. So all of the proof of income
was
strictly mine. Okay. Brian's money could not figure into it.
Gotcha. And then did you buy the Mexico property in both your names or just yours?
It is in both of our names.
Okay.
And spoiler alert, sorry listeners, but unfortunately in 2019, after a month in Mexico together, we came home and Brian was having some stomach issues and he went to the doctor and what he thought was possibly GERD or some other just benign stomach issue turned into stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And he quickly lost his battle. Like within 7 months, he was gone. And it was very, 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 very difficult. And I chose to, because you have to move on, but keeping the space in Mexico and continuing to rent it and making it, I had to make sure that what was once our happy place together did not turn into my sad place.
Right.
So I had to reacquaint myself with the property and put my own little stamp on it and reclaim my happy space, which I have thankfully done.
Awesome.
But, it would not have happened without Brian.
Yeah,
absolutely would not have happened without him.
And listeners, I have to let you know, like, I've met Brian on many occasions and like, I also felt like he was my little spirit animal because he was just in real estate and he did staging. And I feel like every time like we would, I don't know, either talk through you, Dan, or see Brian on whatever it was, like, I was just like, God, if I lived in Chicago, I feel like we would build an empire together. He's so good. And And you guys, don't make me cry. But, and I just, if you don't mind, I don't, this is a tough question, but how were you able to do that? Is it just like a mindset thing that you had to just decide for yourself? Cause I wonder if a lot of listeners out there, like, I don't know if I could, you know, go back there, but like, and maybe tell them what you did this past, I think it was this past January or the January before?
The January before. Yeah. I mean, first of all, I should say that we were so good together on many levels, and in many ways we were very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
But where we were pretty opposite was that I am, my glass is always half full.
Okay.
And a lot of times Brian's was half empty. And so, but he used to marvel at the fact that he would sometimes call me duck because, you know, I would just let the water roll off my back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that comes from the acting background and the, you know, constant rejection. You're constantly getting doors slammed in your face and you just have to go, okay, well, didn't get
on the next one.
Whatever. Yeah. So that has set me up well in life in general.
Okay.
And so even through his sickness and his death, I mean, I had to keep my glass as half full as possible.
Right.
And I was determined not to let our dream property become a sore spot and a source of sadness. And so I went back in January of 2020. He passed in November of 2019. And in January, I went back and brought his ashes with me. We regularly would go on this really cool old sailboat.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's something that we would do if friends came to town. So we will probably do this if you guys come visit me in January.
Yes, we'd love to come.
But it's like this really cool old sailboat. And I invited some of our friends from Mexico to join me on a sunset cruise. And we toasted Brian and spread his ashes at sea. And it was really lovely.
Yeah, nice. Oh, Dan. See, his stories to listeners, that's why it's just like, God, how you acquired it, how you went in not knowing how you're going to pay for it, how you were creative with how you paid for it, going through a handshake deal in Mexico that ended up not being a scam, to buying it with a partner, to now owning it on your own. Like, it's such a good story and it's really inspirational. And really what I want our listeners to take away from it is, listeners, if you haven't yet taken action, if you're terrified because real estate is presented to us as a scary thing because it's a huge investment. It is, but it's so doable. And you just have to get creative and just have that like can do half glasses half full mindset.
Absolutely.
Dan, thank you so much for your time, listeners. Dan has graciously offered us his Instagram handle for the property and his Facebook. So we will put that in the show notes. Dan, do you want to share your handle right now with our listeners?
My property, here's the other thing, people name their units.
Uh-huh. Oh, so, gotcha. Okay.
So the building that I bought into is called Casa Corazon,
okay.
But everybody has named their unit.
Gotcha.
And my unit is called Casa Pavo Real.
Oh,
and
fancy.
Pavo Real is a peacock.
Oh.
So you can find Casa Pavo Real on Facebook and on Instagram.
Okay.
You might have to punch in Casa Pavo Real PV because I think there is another Pavo Real somewhere Latin America, but that's
we'll
not
make
mine.
Sure to link to it so they can get directly.
Check out your awesome, awesome space. All right, Dan, thank you so much for your time. Wonderful story. And just keep rocking it out. Annette and I are hoping to get down there.
Yes. And see the super space. Soon. And then I can hear stories about tour, Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sitting not the for terrace. The podcast, Dan.
Oh, no, no. But we will, you know, raise a glass of something on my enormous terrace.
Yes.
And we will hang out. I absolutely look forward to it.
Yes. Well, amazing. Thanks for sharing your story. We're thankful for your time today.
Yeah. All right,
it is
listeners.
My pleasure.
I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant. And together we are.
Thanks
for visiting.
Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.